verse number 26.
Ashvattha sarva vrikshanam devarshi nancha naradah gandharvanam chitraratah. Siddhanam kapilo munihi.
So Ashvattha sarva vrikshanam, among trees I am the Ashvattha tree. Now the Ashvattha tree has a lot of significance. It is the people tree, ficus something, I don't remember its botanical name, but it is the people tree. And the beauty of this tree, it is a very interesting tree. The tree starts from one root and grows tall. Okay, that is all tree to that. But then it grows sidewards, the branches. And interestingly, from the branches, the roots come down. And it takes another root. And then it will go further and it will branch out and take another root. And then go out and take another root. And the multiple branches will make multiple roots and then will have multiple trees. And it goes on and on. The biggest one in Calcutta in the botanical garden is like 5 kilometers. You know, so that means about three square miles, that big it is. So it's 1 mile by, that's how far it extends. And it goes on and can keep on growing. And it, and in fact, the one in Calcutta is about 800 years old. Of course, like this General Sherman in this Sequoia is more than 2,000 years old, but it is growing as a one tree. So this is multiple. In fact, sometimes you don't even know which was the first tree because there are so many trees. And in the 15th chapter, which is actually the most glorious chapter where the Lord's glory is very well described, which we'll be doing later on, he says, Urdhva Moola Madash Shakham Ashvattham Prahuravyayam Chandamsi Yasya Parnani Yastam Vedasa Vedavita. So he says, Urdhva Moola Madash Shakham. So he says, a tree normally has the roots in the bottom and the branches and the leaves and everything on top. And it keeps on spreading. You know, the Ashvattha tree keeps on spreading, never stops growing. But they say this world is also like an Ashvattha tree, but it is an upside down Ashvattha. Urdhva Moolam Adhas Shakham. So the root is up and the leaves and the branches are below. It's an upside down tree. So what do you mean by upside down tree? Because this world, what is the root? What is the origin of the root of the world is Brahman, the Om, the consciousness. And that is higher. Higher does not mean only higher in space, but higher as a higher level of evolution, as a higher level of thinking. So the consciousness is up, is higher, and from that consciousness has emerged this whole sansara. This whole tree of this world, and we are all the branches, and we are all the leaves, and we are all the, and so this whole universe is like the Ashvattha tree, and keeps growing and growing and growing, and then it's adas chordvam prasritastasya shakaha guna pravridha vishaya pravaha adascha moola nyanusantutami karmanu bandhini manushya lok. So he says these beings get bound by the karmas, by the actions. Because the tree of, and think about our life, you know, you start out as a single individual and then, you know, you take up a career. Okay, I become a doctor or engineer and then I get married. And so now I have my household life and I have my business profession. I have my job and then I have the children and then the children grow up and then they get married and then I have grandchildren. So I'm slowly expanding my life and then I become a member of Rotary Club. So I am now a Rotarian. And then I am a doctor, and then I am a yoga teacher, and then I become a member of Chinmaya Mission. So now I have a Chinmaya world, and then I have my church, and then I volunteer in some library. So slowly, slowly you start expanding, and then slowly you get caught up, and then you get so caught, and you say, I don't have time. I'm so busy. I don't, and then, you know, and then now with this internet and this phone, it's even worse. You know, they never leave you in peace. your emails keep coming and, you know, text messages keep coming even. And that's why he says, cut that tree which has caught you, this tree of like when you are in the forest and you are caught in these trees and you don't know how to get out. So you use the axe and you cut it out. So he says, through the axe of detachment, detach yourself from this world. Don't let it capture you. Don't let it catch you and imprison you. Detachment, again, people think detachment means, oh, then I should not love my child and I should not love my profession. I should not love my dog. Now, that is another problem. People are busy enough and then they have two dogs and three cats and, you know, just keep adding, you know, keep increasing your sansar. So, no, we are not saying that you don't love your near and dear ones, but don't have the attachment, don't have the dependence that without this person, my life is incomplete. My husband didn't smile at me this morning, so I'm miserable the rest of the day. But he smiled and didn't smile. That is his mood. I am fine. So that attitude, my boss yelled at me. It's okay. Maybe he was having a bad day or maybe I did something wrong, which I need to fix. So with that attitude, but I am okay. I am perfect. So that is called detachment, where you do not depend on a person or an object. Oh, I had my car and then tomorrow my car gets wrecked and then I'm so crying, I'm so sad. It's okay, car is gone. Okay, I'll get a new one. So that attitude, you know, children leave home and some people, their whole life is gone. You know, where is my child? And then every day they are calling and the child says, leave me alone, you know, let me enjoy my college. But we don't. Why? Because, so that is called attachment. So they say, asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. So cut this world axe with the axe of detachment. So that's why he says, among the trees, I am the Ashwatha tree, because that represents the whole universe. Devarshi nancha Narada. And among all the divine rishis, I am Narada. Actually, Narada has so many stories. If I start telling, this chapter will never end. But Narada is said to be a divine messenger. He's the messenger of Lord Hari, of Vishnu. He loves Vishnu. And he's always saying, Narayan, Narayan. He's always chanting the name of the Lord. And he has the passport and a visa where he can travel in all the universes. You know, like when you go to another country, you need a visa. He does not need any visa. He can travel in heaven. He can come on the earth. He can travel, you know, in the lower worlds, Patal and everywhere. And his one job is to make people love the Lord. So he constantly, whomever he meets, he is giving them advice about love, about devotion. Actually, he has written a very beautiful text, is available in the office, called Narad Bhakti Sutra. And if you want to read anything about devotion, that is the one text to read. You know, because we think, bhakti toh hai anpad logon ke liye. You know, jinko akkal nahi hai, wo baith ke puja karte rehte hain. We are intellectuals, you know, devotion is for the ignorant people. I am an intellectual, I can read, I can chant, I know all the scriptures. No, actually to be a devotee of the Lord is much more difficult than to be an intellectual. And if you read that Narad Bhakti Sutra, you realize the qualities of a devotee. How can one become a devotee of the Lord? And here also in the 12th chapter, we will be talking about that is Bhakti Yoga. So Narad ji composed that Narad Bhakti Sutra, which is a very beautiful text, which talks about the qualities of devotee and what devotion truly means and how much effort has to go into being a devotee. And he has inspired so many people. Dhruva, that little boy, you know, who left his father's kingdom because his mother, stepmother drove him away. And Narad ji inspires him and tells him, look, you don't need to cry. You know, your father and mother don't want you. It's okay. You have a bigger father, and that's Vishnu, the Lord. And go sit in the forest and chant the name of the Lord. He gives him the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And Dhruva, the little boy who was about 5 or 6 years old, takes that advice of Narada and chants the name and sits for years and realizes the truth. When Ved Vyas ji, who had composed, you know, all the Vedas, who had written all the big texts, the Brahma Sutras, had written commentaries on everything. when he was sitting disheartened one day, it is said that Ved Vyasji had done so much work that even 100 people in one lifetime each cannot do it. That much work he did in one single lifetime. And still at one time he was disheartened that I haven't done enough. You know, we do something small and we think I have done so much, but this, he had composed the entire Vedas and everything. And he was sitting disheartened, and Naradji comes to him and says, why are you disheartened? And he says, I have done a lot, but I don't feel fulfilled. So Naradji says, you know why? Because you have not written anything on bhakti. You have not written anything on devotion. You have written purely knowledge. And now write a devotional text. And then that's when he wrote Bhagavat, you know, Srimad Bhagavat, which is stories of the Lord, how the Lord, Krishna, when he appeared on the earth and all the other gods and all their stories and how one can develop love for the Lord. And so when he composed that text on devotion, then his heart was fulfilled. And that's what they say, that knowledge alone is dry. You know, knowledge has to be accompanied by love. And then love alone is also blind. You know, love, I say I love, but who is this God I love? So then you have to have knowledge. So you have to have knowledge and you have to have love and together. So that's why Naradji is a beautiful example of knowledge and love for the Lord. That's why he says, Devarshi Naam Cha Naradaha. Then he says, Gandharva Naam Chitraratha. I am Chitraratha among the Gandharvas. Gandharvas are celestial musicians. You know, in heaven, they, of course, when the gods and all are, after they've had their celestial dinner and they're having a celestial party up in heaven, then they have to have entertainment. So they have these musicians and dancers who are called Gandharvas. And so they perform and all these beautiful, in fact, they say whatever ragas and whatever beats and whatever sounds you hear, the same are there in heaven. So the music is the same, because that's why they say music, you are very close to the divine. When you are listening to music or composing music, your mind is divine. So Chitraratha is the star. He's like the Dilip Kumar, you know, or Shah Rukh Khan, or I don't know, whoever you want to call here. the best actor or the best actress, you know, Robert Redford or whoever. So he is the star. He is the best. So Gandharva Naam, and I am that. So he is supposed to be the best actor, the best dancer. Siddha Naam Kapilo Muni. Kapil Muni. Now Siddha are the perfect ones, because Siddhi means to reach something, to acquire something. So one who has acquired a Siddhi is called a Siddha. Like say, now somebody can walk on the rope, you know, in the circus. You know, you and I can walk on the floor. But he can walk on the rope without a net. He just, without any support, without any pole, he can walk across. That is a Siddhi. That is an accomplishment. Or it could be anything. You know, somebody who is a supreme mathematician and solves all the latest mathematical problems. That is another Siddhi. So he says, among all the Siddhas, I am Kapila Muni. Muni means Mananashilavan, or a contemplative individual. Now, why has he chosen Kapila? There are so many great rishis and so many great, you know, masters who have appeared. Because Kapil Muni, his story is also very interesting. There's a lot of stories in this. It is said that his father, Kardama Rishi, was a great rishi. Great, very accomplished. And his, of course, my mother means they were not married yet, but the mother's girl's name was Devahuti. And she loved this rishi and she wanted to marry him. So she asked her father. Her father also was a great rishi. And she said, you know, I'd love to marry Kardama Rishi. So his father talked to Kardama Rishi, and Kardama Rishi said, I'll marry her, but I'll only spend, I forget now, 12 years or 18 years, something like that. That's all I will spend with her. After that, I'll be gone, because I want to spend my life in meditation. But since you are a very respected, you know, member of the community, and you are asking me to marry your daughter, I'll do it as a duty, but I'm not going to live with her forever. So he asked his daughter, is it okay if he lives with you, I think 12 years or 14, I don't remember now. So she said, yeah, even 1 year with him will be fine. He's such a great person. I'd love to be with him. So they got married. Then she actually asked this rishi that, I want to enjoy all the pleasures of this world. And so the rishi said, okay, sure. So with his yogic power, he created a huge palace, one of the grandest palace. And she had all the servants. But this palace was very interesting. It didn't stay on the ground. It could travel through space. And so with her, they traveled in this palace through all the lands, all the countries of the world, and traveled in space and all the pleasures they enjoyed. And then she had that son, Kapil Muni, I think maybe a sister also. But anyway, so after 14 years, he brought the palace to the ground, and then the palace disappeared because that was his yogic power. And he disappeared. Disappeared means he walked into the forest. He said, as per our contract, we are done. You know, I'm gone. So, you know, she was missed him, but then she at least had her little boy, the son, who had now grown up a little bit. And so she one day was talking to him and said, I feel so sad. So he says, why? He says, you know, your father was such a great rishi, such a great yogi. And what did I ask him? I asked him for wealth and a palace. I was so stupid. I should have asked him for realization, you know, for the highest truth. When you have a teacher with you 14 years, I could have become a great sage, and I wasted my life. And she started crying. And so he says, mother, don't be sad. I will teach you. And this little boy of 12 years old, he teaches his mother Gita called Kapil Gita. Because he had that his father's wisdom, so he had all that profound knowledge at a very young age. So at this young age, he actually explained the Kapil Gita to his mother. It's usually the mother who teaches the child, but in this case, the child teaches the mother. And that's why he's Kapil Muni. Another great thing about Kapil Muni was that he gave us the Sankhya method. What happens is that there are various methods of study, but the Sankhyan method is the most logical, where if you want to study anything, what you do, you start from the simple and then you logically go to the highest. So anything that is logically and intellectually studied is called the Sankhyan method. And so he was the first one who gave. And the entire Bhagavad Gita has been written on the Sankhyan philosophy of logical, intellectual understanding of the truth. And in fact, the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is called Sankhya Yoga, because Sri Krishna in the second chapter tells Arjuna why he should not run away from his duties. And what he does is from various levels he teaches him, from the level of the world, from the level of the spirituality, from the level of his duty, from the level of what people will think. Every level he explains to him. If you read the second chapter, it's so beautifully the teacher explains. So that's why Sankhya Yoga is the intellectual method. Again, then intellect can only take us so far. Ultimately, they say you have to go beyond the intellect to reach that truth. But unless you have the intellectual background, you cannot reach that highest truth. It's like you need a ladder to climb, say from, I want to climb to the roof of the house. So I take a ladder and I climb up. Ultimately, I have to leave the ladder if I want to climb on the roof and say fix something or do something. So the ladder is the philosophy, and ultimately the philosophy has to be dropped to realize the truth. It does not mean that you don't use the philosophy, but you go beyond the philosophy, go beyond thoughts into that silence. So that's why Kapil Muni is worshipped and respected.